Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
This is Band of Brothers Radio? I think I'm in the wrong studio, man. I meant to be in another studio. I can't believe it. Yes, you have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face. Fear, greed, lust, all of these things that nobody wants to admit. But we'll admit it. Eric is all full of that stuff.
You're supposed to admit it for yourself.
Oh, well, is that how that works?
That's how the whole confession thing works.
I got kicked off that.
It's no good if you just confess somebody else's sin.
But it's easier.
Lord, forgive Raul.
But I can see your sin so clearly.
Okay. All right. I'm not sure where this is going.
Yeah, I know, but I'm obviously pushing a button here, and I don't want to get him upset because this is a pretty small studio. You know, and he's blocking the door, too. So. Anyway, you guys have come to that location where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It is about us being transparent, brutally honest, biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. We talk primarily men, but on occasion we know that we have what are called, we've nicknamed them, the stealthy women. Those are the women in your lives, okay, that want to know, why does my husband, my dad, my uncle, my brother, whatever it is, whatever you are to them, do the things that he does and why? So they listen in on occasion. We hear from them usually through emails or but we talk primarily to the men. So, brother, good to have you with us. I'm glad you chose this alternative on the internet rather than some of those others that have been luring you and tempting you. So, glad you're here today. We're going to be talking about some things that maybe some of you guys can relate with. What's something about?
Big boy toys.
Big boy toys, okay? The lure of the world.
You say that and everybody knows exactly what it is. Okay, next show.
Let's hear what some of those things are that Eric. Eric's got a lot of toys, let me tell you.
What?
Okay. I just had to try to lure him in a little bit more.
I do have some weaknesses.
There, see, I told you it was easy to be able to see. Okay, so that's our main topic that we're going to be talking about here. But what we always like to do is kind of kick things in, starting off with some encouragement for those of you who are listening, man. Because we know that if nothing else, you come to hear something that maybe you need to hear, but you do desire to hear encouragement, and that's what we're going to give you. So, got anything on your radar, brother, that just kind of goes bleep, bleep,
bleep, bleep? Bleep. Last Tuesday at the Band Brothers Ministry, we sang a song that comes right out of the Psalms, and it's an encouraging word. And the song says, there may be pain for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And that comes from Psalm 30. It says, sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning.
Amen.
And so, man, brothers, you know what? Yeah, we've all messed up. We've committed that sin again, you know. But this is a new day, and he's given us this new day with new mercies. You know what? God was angry. It says right there that his anger lasted for a moment, but his love lasts for a lifetime. So, you know, let's remember that we are forgiven past, present, and future for all the things that we have done or will do. And that's the blood, the beauty of the blood of Christ on the cross for us. So we are forgiven for those things, and we have this new day, so we can focus on today, on living for Him today, on seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness today, doing all these things. Okay, but you know, and I feel like I'm doing a commercial for Ginsu knives. But wait, there's more.
Can you do it in an accent that sounds like?
What kind of accent? Australian? No. I'm terrible with accents.
Okay. Yes, you are.
But wait, there's more.
Okay. What is the more?
Well, the more is the beauty of the fact that this world is not our world. This kingdom that we live in now is not our final kingdom. That Jesus is coming back. He has made a promise, and His promise is sure. And so we can look forward to that beautiful promise that that there is coming a day when we will be together with our Lord. We will be in resurrected bodies, imperishable, incorruptible, not tainted by sin, and we're going to, basically, we're going to walk again in the garden with our God. And you know what? We worry about these moments. Yes, we have sinned, and we feel bad about it. We should feel bad about it, right? That's the Holy Spirit convicting us of the wrong that we have done. Mm-hmm. But the blessed thing is that we are forgiven. And we have that sure promise that we are going to walk again with Him in the garden. And I love the way that the prophets dealt with this sort of stuff. Like Isaiah, mm-hmm. when he made a prophecy of Jesus to come 600 years in the future, mm-hmm. he spoke of it in the past tense. Like mm-hmm. it is so sure yes. that I'm going to speak of it in the past tense. He was wounded. He was crushed.
Yes.
And so, yeah, we have His mercies. He has done wondrous things for us. And when I say He has done wondrous things for us, that includes everything that He is yet to do.
Yes, yes. Because He loves you. And, you know, when you mentioned that He was crushed for our iniquities, you know, for our sins, okay? And you know what? That's love, you know? And that we can never separate ourselves from. Nothing can get in the way and separate that love that He has for mm-hmm. you, brother. It is there. It is there. It is there. Okay? So we just have to get this other junk out of our way. So that's good encouragement, man.
Yeah. We, you know, we have pain for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. We have new mercies today.
Can we sing a couple bars of that?
There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Something like that.
That's a joyful noise. I tell you, that's really good. It's a good thing that I'm not in there singing that, you know. Anyway, so with you. Anyway,
all right.
Let's just carry on here. There's more.
But wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more. There's a topic here that we're going to want to get into. And that's this thing called, you know, we call it big boy toys, but really what it is in a sense is that, you know, we look for things that are going to give us pleasure in a sense, okay? Anyway, I want to read something out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, okay? It says, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people. This is Paul talking, of course. But as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? You know, when we read that and just take that out of not keep it in context of what he's saying, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
Okay, Corinthians.
Yeah. Why?
I was just wondering the reference.
Oh, okay. And is really letting us know that, hey, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. You know, I go to church on Sunday, and yes, I, you know, I'm nice to those people when I go and stuff, you know, and but really applying it into our lives and stuff. And
also, oh, I don't get to just say, "Oh, those poor Corinthians." Lost Corinthians.
They are
lost in their worldliness. Oh, those poor Corinthians.
Yes,
oh.
Yes. Hey, I've got my boat, and we're going to go out for a barbecue on it here right after the show. And so anyway, but really what it comes down to is that are we still looking for the pleasures that the world is willing to give us if you have what it takes to make payment? Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to do that sort of thing? Is it something that is necessary, you know? And a lot of guys, sometimes we can justify a few things, can't we, in our lives?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I mean, after all, we've worked hard. We've been taking responsibility of taking care of the family and even more than the family, maybe other families and stuff. And I've, you know, I think I deserve to have something like this. It's kind
there,
of like.
There you said it. You said it. I deserve that.
Mm.
But that's the big justification
in
so much of the stuff that we do, isn't it?
Yes.
I deserve this.
Yes.
You know, I've worked hard for it. I deserve it. And that's like that's the real bold-faced kind of justification. But then there's also those kind of sneaky sort of justifications.
Yes.
You know, like you know, you want to get the really nice, super fast bass fishing boat, and you say, "Well, you know what? I can take the family out on some family outings."
That's right. That's
with
right.
This boat,
yes, they won't be able to water ski, but they can stand up on top and jump in the water and go swimming and stuff.
Yeah,
as long as I'm on that side of the boat, because I'll have my lines.
And the whole time we're thinking about bass, catch bass, you know, and justify somehow.
Absolutely,
yeah.
And these are the things. These are the lures of the world that keep us in the world, okay? These are the things that no matter what, because whatever it is that we are using, the likelihood is that we're going to be using it in where there are other people of the world, you know, more likely than people not of the world, in a sense. In other words, the last thing I want to do is to invite friends of mine from church to come and check out my new Corvette, okay? Because some of them may not think this is something I should have.
Yeah, and some of them may look at it and just automatically say vanity.
Right, right. Rather than if I took it to a park, just let it sit there, that people will actually just walk up to it automatically and ask questions about it.
Man, that's a nice Corvette.
You know?
Tell me about the Corvette.
Oh yeah, hey, you know this. You know what this is. You know, and anyway, and you go from there. So now you're significant. You're important. You're something is you're highlighted in a sense, and that's something that is it the nature of the beast? Is it natural for us to do that sort of thing? To want to be?
Well, it's natural for us to look out for number one, and to meet all of our felt needs.
Oh, wait a minute. Number one?
Yeah.
But the Bible doesn't say we're supposed to be number one.
No, it doesn't.
We're not even supposed to be number two.
No.
Or number three. Or number four.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Eric is number one. That's the tendency of man, is to look at himself as number one.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the way I was looking at it. I was looking at it the other way.
I wasn't sure if you were confessing my sin again.
I wouldn't do that, brother. Maybe on another show, but not this one. No, but the fact is that that's really what it ends up coming down to, is that, you know, we were just thinking about one thing at this, even though we try to justify it. But look at my family. They're going to be able, we've got a boat that we can all go out on, the family boat. And it's, yes, I can only take four people out at one time, you know. Yes, I did spend a little bit more money on this then, because it has certain reels or certain gizmos on it that are important for bass fishing, not family outings, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, well, you know, the only difference between men and boys is the price of their toys.
That's it. And, you know, and so what is it the draw is a man. Yeah, we've already mentioned that we feel like we deserve something, but why do we feel we deserve something like that? What is it? Are we trying to keep up with the Joneses? Or do we have an insecurity within us that we need to keep showing that I can actually earn something on my own, or have received something because of my abilities or something that I do and stuff? Is it really all about me?
The answer to that? Yes. And that's, you know, that's our motivations behind these things. In all honesty, you know, we want to, you know, not only do we want to get the thing that, you know, that we've, you know, been desiring for so long, and we think that when we fill this this felt need with a thing, that all of a sudden my life is going to become happy, you know. So we fall into that trap, but we also fall into the trap of you know, my neighbor has something that's better than me, so I need to mm-hmm. one up to stay on top. You know, it really comes down to there's a real problem of pridefulness involved in this. Mm. When, you know, when truly we are looking out for ourselves, which I jokingly called number one a little yeah. bit ago, you know, we're looking out for ourselves, and we're not doing what the Bible says, and that's to die to self. To die to self.
Yes.
Not to look out for self. Now, when I say that, you know, it brings up the question, well, does that automatically mean that having a thing is evil?
Hmm. Hmm.
What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know if it's so much that it's evil, that it has a tendency of probably bringing out not necessarily the best in us, okay? And when I talk about the best, I'm talking about the godly, because that's the best in us. Mm-hmm. Because if we know Jesus, if we've accepted him as Lord and Savior, he is in us. The Holy Spirit is here, okay? So if we use the statement that the best in us, while it may not fall in line with what glorifies God, because that's truly what we're here for, is to glorify God.
Right.
That's the whole purpose, mm-hmm. okay? And we miss that, okay? Now, mind you, we're sitting here talking about how we can actually justify certain things, and there's a lot of ways of being able to justify having something or acquiring something, because after all, I'm doing this for everybody in my family, and you know what? I even invite those from church to come on board or to, you know, partake with this or to use this if they'd like, with certain requirements, of course, you know, in my oversight and seeing it and making sure everything's okay. Yet, what ends up taking place is that, is it truly, truly wrong for me to have these things? I mean, you know, my company does really well. I don't work overly a lot of hours. I spend a lot of time with my family, and we do a lot of things, and this happens to just be part of what we do. And I do tithe, and I do get into the Word of God. Maybe, you know, if you were to sit down and talk with me, if I was honest, I would probably think that I could probably do it more, or maybe I don't pay attention as deeply as I'd like to, in a sense, you know. Now, let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about this. Because you know what? Because a guy is able to earn substantial amounts of money, is it wrong for him to purchase some of these things that would bring joy, laughter, fellowship with not only his family, but with others that he knows?
Well, you raised a couple big questions, and we'll get to those.
All right, right after the break. We'll be right back. We're talking about big boy toys. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
Football season. It's the perfect time to grill up some dogs, whether at a tailgate party or out on your back deck. And the perfect choice is a Hempler's Bun Buster hot dog. Or if you really want to impress your friends, grill up some Hempler's Hot Link sausages, or maybe some of their smoked sausage and cheese kielbasa, or smoked garlic sausage, or you've got to try their amazing double smoked sausages. yum. Can't you almost taste them right now? Plus, the entire Hempler collection of smoked meats are gluten-free and they have no MSG. At Hempler's, they have a proud family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. Look for Hempler's meats the next time you're at your local supermarket. For more information, visit Hemplers.com.
Don't have time or energy to keep up with your yard work?
That's for sure. And that's why we choose Kane's Lawn and Garden, and we have for years. If you live in Whatcom County, Kane's Lawn and Garden can help you with the mowing, the edging, the shrub care and pruning, property weed control, general property cleanup, whatever you need. Give them a call to get a quote, 360-312-9524, or visit their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. caneslawnandgarden.com.
You're taking me deeper. You're making me whole. With grace you redeem me, yeah. You restore my soul. Now I'm made new because of you. Yeah! You hold my head up. You remind me who I am. You hold my head up. I'm alive in you again.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. I've got, I almost said Felix. You don't look anything like Felix, Eric.
No.
So, is it wrong? Okay, and we're talking about big boy toys. And some of you guys who are listening, sitting there going, well, wait a minute here. You know, again, for whatever reason, you're in a position where you make a lot of money, in a sense. You know, the love of money is the root of all problem, of all evil.
All sorts of evil, yeah.
Okay? It's not money itself. Money is good. It's necessary. As a matter of fact, Jesus even needed to come up with some money to pay for taxes. And he told one of his guys to go
go fish.
And the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and all of a sudden there's a denarii in there to pay for our taxes. Okay? How cool is that, man? I mean, that's probably why the guy buys the bass boat.
Yeah,
right? Like, I'm looking for that.
Looking for the denarius.
To buy my taxes. To pay for my taxes. But anyway, the point being is that money is important. It is. It's what you cannot purchase anything. You can't get food. You can't get water pumped into your house and stuff without having money to pay for that.
Yeah. And I've heard people bring up the idea that the Christian should, in a sense, live in poverty. On the surface, that sounds, you know, appealing and or not really appealing, but kind of pious and
godly.
In nature,
yes.
Godly. But then it brings up the issue that if Christians just go out and forsake money altogether, well, the money doesn't actually disappear, okay?
Yes.
The money is still out there. So what that means is that—
Unless they just want to print some more up.
Okay, we're not going to go down that road. Okay. We can get political, but we're not going to go down that road. Okay. But, okay, the money, if a Christian denies to have money—
Yes.
The money just doesn't disappear. So what ends up happening is that all of the money winds up in the hands of wicked people to do wicked things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily designed for all the money to fall into the hands of other people. I think that God has granted that we should have the money that he has said that we should have, because everything that we have is because he's chosen to give it to us. Now we have the responsibility of using it for his sake, for his glory, for his kingdom. You know, really it comes down to what does that look like?
Yeah.
You know, does that look like, you know, getting a new boat? Well, you know what? I might make some people like go, you know, but yeah, it might. Because the boat itself is just a thing, right? But things can be used as tools. You know, it can be used for bringing the family closer together.
Mm-hmm.
Like we said, you know, like the bass fisher saying, oh, well, I can use this for my... That's actually legitimate. It
right.
can bring a family closer together.
Right.
It can also be, you know, boaters have clubs. They get involved with other people. They meet people. They establish relationships, and they're able to share the gospel with friends.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so it's really about the glory of God in the situation. So, you know, we were getting at the question, is it a bad thing to own these things? Well, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So much of it is our motivation. Am I being self-motivated,
right,
in acquiring these things, or am I being kingdom-minded?
And so often we see people who are blessed with a lot of money, okay, be it a sports athlete or a high-powered business owner that is willing to even give so much of what they acquire, okay, to nonprofits, faith-based, okay, to be able to build hospitals, to be able to assist people in need,
mm-hmm,
all, you know, missionaries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So because, once again, they have money doesn't make them bad necessarily, okay? Because there are a lot of, seriously, there are a lot of professionals out there that give far more than what we're even aware of, okay? You know, the left isn't supposed to know what the right's doing, right? The left is not supposed to know what the right hand is doing, mm-hmm, when giving. And a lot of them do that. Now, if I were to, I happen to have a sack full of money and I call the local radio station or newspaper and say, hey, I'm going to donate all of this, you know, to this nonprofit and on this day, and I want them to be known and so on and so forth because, you know, they do good works and et cetera, et cetera. We really need to take a look at what's the real issue here. And most of the time, we don't know the whole story. You know, the public,
mm-hmm,
and so we don't know the whole story. We just get what is given to us, okay? And we're probably not ever going to know the whole story. And is it necessary? Not really. But we do make judgment on what we receive, right, and what we see and hear.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that can create animosity, resentment, and all sorts of other things that go with that. Jealousy, envy, discord, you know.
Yeah. Well, I remember when Alex Rodriguez got his really huge, yes, contract.
Yes, which is small now in comparison to so many others now.
But, you know, it's a lot of money for,
yes,
for anybody.
Yes.
And I don't remember the numbers of it, but I remember people were just, you know, just complaining up one side and down the other, and it's just so not right. Well, why? I mean, because a person is worth what somebody is willing to pay them, right?
That's right. That's right.
So, I mean, who am I to go and say that Alex Rodriguez isn't worth that,
yep,
when somebody was willing to pay him that? If,
yes,
somebody's willing to pay him that, that's what he is worth to them. So he was getting what he was worth. It may not have worked out real well.
You know, it's funny that you use that analogy, is that people forget that when it comes to high profile professionals and their contracts and stuff, and they end up receiving these outrageous numbers that we sit there and go,
automatically resent. Yeah.
Yeah. You sit there and go, you got to be kidding. You know, look at all the poor people. Why are they not, you know, well, the poor people aren't playing the game to get what this team owner wanted them to do. Alex Rodriguez does. In this case, he used his name, so I'm using it. But as a result of that, I might not like what Alex Rodriguez is doing and so on and so forth, but I'm still going to watch that team because I support that team. So you're watching them on TV. You're supporting that team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You talk about
games.
It. You go and buy a jersey or a T-shirt at Kmart that has their logo on it. Guess what? They are benefiting from it. So you're supporting that team. Okay? When you wear the logo and stuff, you're supporting. You say, hey, I like this team and so on and so forth. But that Alex Rodriguez, he makes too much money.
Yeah, too much money. That brings up an interesting point. I don't know if you've heard these numbers or not, but living here in America, and I know that we have listeners outside of America, but I'll just speak to the people listening inside America. If you live here and you make $32,000 a year or more, you are in the top 1.1% of wage earners in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at that and we think $32,000 or more, well, that's real close to the poverty level, right? Well,
according to us, yes,
you know, the world would look at that and say, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, so if I make more than $32,000 a year, there's for me, there's 99 people who make less money than me in the world.
That's right.
That's actually a responsibility, is what that is. Mm. Because God has entrusted us with so much. So it really comes down to, what am I going to do with that?
Yeah. So most guys right now are sitting there saying, so what am I supposed to do? Give all this money away to everybody? Then I won't be able to afford my rent or, you know, food, et cetera, et cetera. You know? Well,
hey, you know, we have to move according to how the Holy Spirit tells us to move, okay? Not according to what Eric says.
Yes.
Because, for one, I haven't told everybody that they need to forsake everything. In fact, I remember telling people that we don't need to forsake everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, we each have the Holy Spirit moving on us and speaking to us according to what He wills for our lives. I recently watched a movie called Ragamuffin, and it's the story of Rich Mullins.
Yes.
Which is a good movie, so I would recommend
good book.
That. I haven't read the book. I saw the movie. That's the way I do things.
That's the way I do things, mostly, too, yes.
But I found it interesting. I didn't know this about Rich Mullins, the Christian singer. He never knew how much money he made, because he told the people at his record label that they could give him what the average American wage earner made, and all the rest of it was to be given away to churches or other, you know, church organizations, whatever. So he never actually even knew how much money he made. You know, and he made that decision based on the Holy Spirit moving within him. Well, at the same time, we can have somebody who is, a substantial wage earner, who hasn't been moved in that way, but God has said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take what I've earned, and I want you to go and invest it and do more so that you can do more for my kingdom, or so that you can provide for this person in this way.
Yes.
You know, he deals with us all differently.
Yeah.
He's not necessarily telling us that we need to, you know, go out and just get rid of everything. Jesus went to the rich man and said, one thing you lack, you need to sell everything and give it to the poor, and then come follow me.
Right.
Because he knew where that man's heart lied.
Right.
Right. So he knew that man put his trust in his things rather than putting his trust in Jesus himself. So the reason that person was called to do that is because that was his stumbling block.
Yes.
And Jesus, knowing our hearts, he knew that. So that verse in the Bible, that passage, isn't necessarily telling us all that we need to go sell everything and give to the poor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In fact, Jesus says the poor will always be with you.
Yes.
And you know what? I find that his words are true.
There's some truth there, like
yeah.
all of it. You know, it's
one of those radio moments. We need one of those cough buttons in here. I've heard about them, but we don't have one. I'm looking for the cough button.
The cough button.
Yeah, like radio stations, they have a cough button, so you can like push a button.
I
so
like
that,
how you say radio stations, like the, you know, okay, like cough button.
Well,
so
okay,
that you deaden your.
I learned about this on Fraser.
That's what the producer does. The producers actually, they see us gagging and everything, and they know we're about ready to make.
I don't
noise.
Even see the producer. Oh, there she is.
Yes, and she'll actually turn our mic down so that you can puke or whatever you need to do. You know, at the time.
Puke. Oh yeah, this is a station for men. This is a. We're dealing with men's issues right here, and
okay,
where were we?
I don't know.
What
you
are we talking
a question,
about?
But we need to take it. Let's take a break.
I think you gentlemen should take a break.
She's being so kind, calling us gentlemen. You know. Okay, couple guys gonna kind of get our act together here. We're gonna come back. We're gonna talk about this sort of thing. I'm just still curious as to whether or not is it okay to purchase some of this stuff. I'll be right back with Eric on Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Hi, this is Raul Chavez, founder of Band of Brothers for Christ in Bellingham.
And if you're a band living in our area, I'm inviting you to enjoy a free barbecue and a uniquely inspiring atmosphere for men on Tuesday nights. The men of Band of Brothers for Christ come from dozens of different churches and gather together at 6 p.m. every Tuesday night at Christ Community Church, located on the corner of Guide and Horton Roads. You'll enjoy a time of eating together, developing meaningful relationships with other men, getting inspired and equipped by God's Word, hearing amazing, radically transparent testimonies from other courageous men. Be courageous yourself and come and check us out on Tuesday night. You'll find more information at bandofbrothersforchrist.org. bandofbrothersforchrist.org. Looking forward to seeing you on a Tuesday night. Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com. Band of Brothers Radio, Hope for the Helpless, and that's us right now. So, well, what this thing comes down to is that a lot of times we sit there and we say, well, we're not in that category with a lot of money to buy big boats, to buy season tickets to every professional sports team in our area and that sort of thing. But maybe it's not so much about money as it is the draw of the time that we spend in, I want to say, drooling over this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Been there, done that?
Yeah. I mean, Okay. Seriously, of drooling over this stuff, knowing that we cannot afford it, but we try to think of, you know, how that could possibly happen. I've been in auto sales at one time in my life for long enough to realize that is not where I needed to be. But as a result of that, I've came across a lot of people who did not necessarily think that they could afford certain things. And amazing what can be manipulated to allow them to afford something that they so desire that, you know, all the hot buttons are hit and so on and so forth. And we've all fallen into that trap at one time or another. Okay.
I can get you a little better financing.
Yeah, and if we can make this work...
If we do this today, I can knock $500 off.
And not just that, but if we can make this easily work for your monthly payment, it's going to be for 62 years, but that's all right. But can you swing that?
But your grandchildren are going to love this car.
Yeah. And your great-grandchildren. Anyway, so there's... But in today's world, the guys who are listening, they don't have that kind of money to go out and buy things, but... How much time do we spend at looking and gawking and drooling over things on the internet that gives us the access to be able to pretend like we can? You know what I mean?
Oh,
can you relate with that?
Well, I can relate to that.
Oh, no. So you've done one of those things before, too.
The cart, the shopping cart.
Online, yes.
I love photography. Okay. And I used to do photography on a higher level. I started out with photography, you know, back in we had a darkroom in my house growing up, and I spent countless hours with my father in the darkroom doing photography, and it's always just been a real love of mine.
Yes.
These days, it doesn't really fit in with the budget. So what I have these days is, you know, I have a point and shoot. But I am guilty.
A point and shoot, like I'm supposed to know what that is.
A point and shoot is just a camera that basically has, you know, a regular camera. It has one button on it.
That's what we all have if we had a camera.
Where you just push the button and it takes the picture. Not a whole lot of the, you know, the bells and whistles that, you know, a good photographer can manipulate and come out with some great photos, right? Okay, so what I want... What I want is I want this, you know, camera body with these lenses that, yes. that go, you know, to like this f-stop and this shutter speed, you know. And honestly, Raul, I look at that stuff and my mind just starts going and, oh, the fabulous pictures that I could take. And I go onto the website and I've done this. I've made the shopping cart. I've sit there for like an hour or 2 hours and I put together a shopping cart of the stuff yes. that I want to be able to take those beautiful pictures that everyone will marvel at. And then I delete the shopping cart because I know that it's just not going to happen.
So we're not talking about just a couple of minutes of looking at things.
Not just a couple of minutes, no. I mean, it could, you have to research it too, Raul, because you can't put the wrong thing in your shopping cart because yeah. what if there's something better out there?
And you're not really going to be able to purchase this going into it, but you love the idea of thinking that I can pretend. It's kind of like playing war or when you were a kid or playing if you saw your daughters playing dolls or house or whatever, kind of the same thing, just pretending. Mm-hmm. Just pretending. It takes us into a fantasy world, right? That's not reality in a sense. Unless you hit the ready to pay type of thing and you have a credit card that can pay for that sort of thing and you go, oops. And now you have to let your family know, especially your wife. we're going to be expecting mm-hmm. something, and now you start to justify what you've got coming.
You got your finger hovering over the buy now button,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And you didn't intend to press it, but you did. Or you were hoping that you wouldn't press the button, but you did. And so now, yeah, so now we're stuck. But, you know, it all comes from... a real love of the things that the world has to offer.
Yes. And again, it comes back to one thing. Our desire to have these things that aren't necessarily... I don't think God would look at us as saying, yes, I think you deserve this, Raul, and I'm going to bless you with this, but you're going to have to pay for it. You know, type of thing, right?
It's funny how we often think of having lots of things and having lots of money as blessing.
Yeah.
Could it possibly be that having all those things could, in fact, be a learning lesson for us, God's discipline?
Tower of Babel, so to speak, right?
Right.
I mean, the more that we can acquire and we pile up on top yeah. of each other, and before you know it, somewhere along the line, it's going to tumble.
And I think that, you know, a lot of times the, in fact, opposite of that can be true, where, you know, we see having things and having money as God's blessing. What if it's God's blessing to us that he has kept those things from us, knowing what his plan is for us or knowing the evil intentions of our heart and what we would do with these things if we had them? You know, I believe, Raul, that there are blessings in having less.
Yes.
At the same time, there are blessings in having a lot of things. Like Abraham himself, he had a lot of stuff. He had thousands of livestock. He had servants. He had family. But you know, the Bible speaks to the fact that that although he had that stuff, he counted it as nothing. For the joy of knowing his Lord.
Yes. You know, one of the things is that it's boiling down. We're boiling this thing down. We have the heat turned up and this thing is boiling down. So in other words, all the liquid is eventually going away. Okay. And you're going to come down to something here. And this whole thing is boiling down to, you know, the next thing is what are our priorities? What's important mm-hmm. to us? Okay. To us, what's important to us, and if God isn't in at the top rung on everything, we probably have our priorities a little askew, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, our priorities, our motivation,
yes,
for having the things, you know, have we justified it, or is it something that God really would have for us? You know, it's the way you put it, priorities. Have I gone out and purchased this thing, even though it might mean that rent is going to be tight. We might have to skimp somewhere else, you know, in order to make that payment. You know, what's really important? Am I blessing, you know, other people?
But also, well, too, yeah. am I actually praying and asking God for direction here? You know, that's where I'm going with the priority thing. I mean, am I bringing my wife into this? Okay. You know, Debbie and I, we do some things from our experiences, knowing that, hey, the best way of being able to deal when it comes to finances, we've allowed ourselves that, yes, there's a certain amount that we can spend without having to ask the other one for an okay.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just tell you right up front, it's like $50. Okay. Not a big deal. It is for some people. For us, it's not a big deal to do that. But anything above that, we've said, hey, we need to get together with each other and get an okay. So we pray about it. But we also know that we pray about whatever we're going to spend up to that $50, if that's important. Okay. Now, the simple fact is that God, is he a part of this or is he a sideline? Do we just pull him off out of the stand and say, okay, I need you in here now, Lord, to run this end run to score the touchdown because I can't do it, you know? No. He needs to be either everything or nothing. Mm-hmm. Because really, he ends up being nothing when we don't use him at all, except just part of the time. We think he's there. We try to justify it, and he's not there at all. I mean, he is, but you know what I'm saying, that he's not blessing it. He's not putting his blessing on it. It says in, I know it could be taken out of context. It says in James 1, it says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So, you know, in going to God, you know what? He's going to give his blessing, his green light, or not. And you'll know what it is. So, you know, we can say all the things and justify spending this and having this and doing all the things that we do. But if it doesn't glorify God, should we be doing it?
You know, the one thing that comes to mind that God loves to give us is his Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, he's there. We just have to acknowledge it, right? And be willing to go there.
Absolutely. It really is all about following him and seeking him, you know. And like you said, you know, pray about these things. If we can't honestly pray to God about a purchase, then it's very likely something that might just want to stay away from.
There you go. Well, brother, before I use the cough button that you've written down on a piece of paper there, how about you pray for our brothers who are listening?
Our Heavenly Father, I thank you that you walk with us every day, and you choose, Father, who will have much and who will have little. And so we just thank you, Father, that in both poverty and wealth, Father, that you are with us. I just pray your blessing on these men today. In Jesus' name, amen.